This is the House Committee on Trade and Economic Development Committee will come to order. First, before we go into the main agenda, I'd like to have Representative Dallam give us some what plan we have on the February 25. We are excited going over there, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman Lum. We're very excited to have you. I think the itinerary that I put in front of you speaks for itself. We'll leave here. We'll start our activities in Roscoe County, the Dalles, about 10, and we'll be done 3:30, something like that. The important issue, and I think we can read all of that, the important issue is, of course, lunch, and here's what we've arranged, is at lunch we would seat each of you at a table. And some of the stars of this committee have been asked to be at a certain table so that people can tell you what economic development means, at least in House District 59. And we have told them that we want to come home with a to-do list. If you're not going to be attending in the Dalles, I believe every one of your names have been mentioned. We have a veterans home, and some of those people are very interested in sitting as Representative Nelson. Each one of you has been mentioned. So if you're not going to go, I would really like to know so that we can make different seating arrangements over lunch. And we will come home with a list of things that they deem to be important and some food for future committee meetings. Okay. Thank you very much for that opportunity.
Thank you, Representative Dallam. And I'd like to know for sure, I'm very excited going out there, and I think it's our responsibility going to the east side of Cascade and what's happening. If we are concerned economic development and jobs in that area, we all are. I think it's a great opportunity to go over there. And I'd like to know who is not going. And I hope everyone goes there.
Mr. Chair, I will not be able to attend, as I mentioned to Representative Dallam and to the Chair, that is the opening day of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in my district, and I'm committed to be there that night for the opening of the festival.
You mean at that night?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. I think you mentioned that before. I think I do understand. And anyone else?
Chair Lynn?
Yes.
I will consent to go to the Dalles if you and the committee will consent to come to my district, visit one of the top tourism attractions of the state, and also to see our R.B. Weber, and I'm talking about McMinnville and the Spruce Goose Museum.
All right. Is it conditional or
No, it's not conditional.
Okay.
Can I comment?
Yes.
Representative Nelson, I took my six-year-old daughter to the Spruce Goose Museum on Saturday, so can I get an opt-out on
it? Yes, thank you. Okay. Did you enjoy it?
Loved it. But your point is well taken. Thank you very much. And otherwise, everyone else going over there except the representative. Buckley.
Right.
Okay.
I plan on being there, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And also, I want to know the members of this committee. I talked to the speaker, Yanis, and then Representative Dallam will be the chair of that meeting. So I think it's pretty appropriate doing that. So I'm relinquishing my chairmanship just for the day only, okay? Thank you.
That's scary.
Sometimes. All right. And with that, we will have an informational meeting. Which one do we have first? Okay. And if you pardon me, Todd, we are going to begin with a public hearing and possible work session for the House Bill 2191. Where's Todd? He's not here yet.
Yeah, he's
okay.
He's in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th row there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay. Would you please come forward, Verona? How this? Veronica Renard?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The director of the Oregon Film and Video Office.
Yes, would you please summarize?
Yes, I can, Mr. Chairman, I can give a brief summary of House Bill 2191. This bill rebates a blank percentage, that percentage to be named later. Percent of labor costs of film production companies that spend at least $1 million on Oregon film production. It creates what's called the Greenlight Oregon Labor Rebate Fund. And that would be in the state treasury, continuously appropriated Oregon Film and Video Office. It authorizes eligible film production companies to withhold wages in lieu of personal income taxes and submit the wages withheld to the Department of Revenue, which deposits the withheld amounts into this fund. It authorized the Oregon Film Video Office to determine film production eligibility for participation, and then the office would also verify actual expenses and pay the rebate out of the fund. It authorizes Oregon Film Video Office to deduct retained from the rebate amounts reasonably incurred to verify the expenses, and authorized the Department of Revenue to keep a portion of the fund for its administrative expenses not to exceed 0.5%. This bill would take effect the 91st day after signee die.
All right. Welcome. And why don't you want to start first, Veronica?
Thank you, Chairman Lim and committee members, for inviting us here today to talk with you about the Greenlight Oregon Labor Rebate Program. The film and video industry, as you probably know, has been an important component of Oregon's economic development program for a long time. In fact, our office is the second oldest film commission in the nation. So Oregon has understood for a long time what a great industry this is for the state. It brings in millions of dollars.
Can you hold on? I think I forgot the gavel. We are going to have a public hearing on House Bill 21-9 in office. Okay.
Thank you. Should I rewind? Anyway, Oregon has long understood what a great industry this is for our state. It brings in millions and millions of dollars of new outside money into our economy, which has a highly stimulating effect on our economy as opposed to just sort of passing the same dollars around. It creates high-wage jobs. It doesn't require a lot of infrastructure build-out. Films come to take pictures of what we already have. It's a clean industry, and it provides outstanding promotional value for the state when films are released around the country or shown on television. We get hundreds of visitors per year who come to Oregon to see the locations for films that were shot 20 years ago, Stand By Me, Goonies. The Astoria Chamber of Commerce reported a couple of years ago they get 200 visitors per month in the summer who come to Astoria to see the Goonies house. I feel sorry for the owners of the Goonies house, it's really a big draw, and they've put together actually a movie location brochure that they give out to visitors so visitors can go and see where things like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Free Willy and Kindergarten Cop and so many films have been shot. But the industry has become much more competitive in recent years. Unfortunately, the rest of the country and the rest of the world figured out what we already knew, what a great industry this is to recruit. And as they have gotten more competitive, Oregon has fallen behind in that competitive field. It began with Canada in the mid-1990s. By the late 1990s, 70% of U.S. television production was going on in Canada, and the large studio features were following suit. They sort of realized, well, if a television movie can save $300,000, we can save $3 million by going there. Now that competition is worldwide. It's not just Canada anymore. Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, the UK, Eastern Europe all offer incentives, cheap labor, and even film financing and co-financing deals amongst their nations. And now other states within the U.S. have discovered that they can bring some of that production back if they put into place some incentives of their own. 14 other states currently have aggressive incentive programs, and several have legislation pending. The programs vary state to state. Some are wage-based tax credits of 10 to 25% of wages, investment tax credits anywhere from 10% to 50% of a film's investment, and cash rebates on spending. In the face of this competition, the amount spent by out-of-state productions in Oregon has decreased from an average of $30 to $40 million per year in the early and mid-1990s to just $10 million last year. That's costing us jobs, It's costing us all those revenues that would have been coming in, and businesses in the industry are closing their doors. We don't have a film lab in Oregon anymore, and that's definitely a detriment. The good news, though, is that those other states have proven with their programs that producers like to and will shoot their movies in the United States if we can help make up that budget difference. Two of the most aggressive states, Louisiana and New Mexico, have had great success with programs they implemented just 2 or 3 years ago. Louisiana went from bringing in about $44 million a year in out-of-state spending to $248 million in their first year of having an incentive program. New Mexico went from $8 million a year to $80 million a year, a 1,000% increase. So the programs work. They've shown us that. 5 to 10 years ago, our office was able to pull in a lot of big projects with good photography and a lot of hustle. Now, before anybody asks us a question about locations, logistics, crew depth, camera rental availability, any of those things, the first question that gets asked is, what are your incentive programs? And if we don't have an answer for that, we don't get to any of those next questions. That's the end of the phone call. And then they don't call again. We do recognize the budget constraints in Oregon. We've heard that loud and clear. And so we have worked very hard with the governor's office and Department of Revenue to come up with a package of programs that can be competitive but are revenue neutral. Greenlight Oregon is the result of that. It's a two-sided program, the first side being a vendor rebate, which is actually paid by the merchants who make the money from the films coming in. We will sign up merchants who will agree to pay a 10% rebate to productions based on their purchases. That part doesn't require legislation, and our office is working on putting that side of the program together. But that in itself is not enough to be competitive with the programs that other states and other countries are putting out there. So the Greenlight Labor rebate, as described in HB 2191, is the second part of our program. Films will have to apply ahead of time and be approved ahead of time to take part in the program. They will send income tax withholding to a special suspense fund at Department of Revenue. And then when the show wraps, they will turn in paperwork to us, and we will verify that they've met the minimum requirements of the program, including that they must spend at least $1 million in Oregon before we issue the rebate to them. Legislative revenue right now is working on what the percentage of withholding should be to ensure it matches the tax rate that these employees normally pay. We anticipate that number, and that's the blank that was mentioned, we anticipate that number to be 5.5% to 6%. But the legislation also includes a clause that the Department of Revenue can adjust that number if it needs to be adjusted in the future. There are a couple of really important things to note about this legislation. The first is that this is found money. This is money that will not be coming into our state unless we have some kind of program to bring it in. We've seen the amount of production that we've lost. Those numbers are only going to go down unless we create some kind of program. The second important note is that our industry creates an additional full-time equivalent job for every direct hire job. So when a film comes in and hires the 100 people, 120 people to be the crew on the film, that generates enough work out in the rest of the economy through all of their purchases and their use of hotels and restaurants and purchases at lumber yards and office products, et cetera, to create another full-time equivalent position for each direct hire. So the state will still be collecting the revenues on those additional hires. We've actually tested the theory of incentives, where incentives work in Oregon, over the past few years. We've recruited 3 films in the past 3 years using Strategic Reserve Fund incentives. In each case, we were competing with foreign countries where films were being offered rebates, cheaper labor, and favorable exchange rates. In each case, an offer of 10% back on the first $1 million of their spending was enough to bring them to Oregon. I included in your packet a report on the first film that we did this with, The Dust Factory, which shot here in 2002. I included that film because it's one that we actually will be having a special screening of. You should have received an invitation to in a couple of weeks, and so I thought that would be a good example to look at. These films all hired 65 to 100 local crew people each, hundreds of extras on each film, and purchased goods and services from more than 100 vendors each. And that's also something that's then important to realize. A lot of people think of the obvious expenses like the hotels and rental cars, but our industry spreads money throughout a community and uses all kinds of services. They set up an office to run their production, so every kind of office supply, office equipment, stationery, etc. They build sets and paint houses and get wallpaper and all those kind of building supplies. They get cell phones and pagers and walkie-talkies. So they really, their spending goes throughout the community. We've had a good experience using the strategic reserve funds, but that fund is too limited in the amounts that we can offer back to productions, and it's not marketable because each case depends on what other pressures there are for those funds. If I have to say, well, gee, maybe we'll have to see, that's not going to get us back in the picture in a big way. We need a predictable, consistent incentive program to be competitive with these other states and countries. HB 2191 has great potential to increase the amount of production we bring in, to increase high-wage employment in our state, to increase spending in our communities, and to increase tourism. I urge you to recommend a due pass for the legislation.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Riley.
Thank you. I'm sure that you've done some estimating of what we're going to get out of this, what kind of numbers we think we can bring in. What is that estimate?
I think on the conservative end, over the next biennium, we'd bring in an additional $50 million worth of production. I think it could go up from there. As we've seen with some other states, you know, their increases have gone anywhere to $80 million up to $250 million worth of production. But, you know, this being a new program, again, I would say a conservative estimate would be that we could bring in an additional $50 million. That would be a few big features, which we're not in competition for anymore, several smaller independent films, and hopefully getting some television production back.
Thank you. Good. Vice Chair Muckley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to ask you a couple of questions about Section 1 of the bill, and specifically I'm looking at Section 1, Subsection 4, no, Section Section 1, subsection 5, the second page, line 23, maybe that's an easier way to find it. And this is where the process for documenting expenses is involved, and it says the office may deduct the amount of labor incurred to verify the actual expenses, and then in sub C on line 26 it says the office may adopt rules that establish procedures for proof. And in line 21 it talks about the proof is required by the office in its discretion. And I'm just struck by this language that this is the sort of thing where we don't really want to read 6 years from now when somebody does an audit of this department that the rules for establishing the expenses were not implemented, not required to be implemented, not pursued. And I'm just wondering why such loose language about documenting expenses has been included in this bill.
Well, I think to some extent that's a legislative council question. I believe that this was looked at as not trying to codify too much to make us unable to adjust as necessary. I can say that in the instances of using strategic reserve funds, which is the model that we would probably follow, we have signed a contract with each film production that outlines several types of paperwork they will supply to us, including final payroll records, summary records for each employee, and vendor reports, what they spent with each vendor, receipts for any expense over $500, all the backup that we need to verify that they have spent that amount of money. But what we have found is that there is sometimes some difference between, you know, each film production creates its own company, and they all hire different accountants. And so we need some flexibility to be able to work with them on what type of records they might have. have to turn in to us, but those are the types of things that we have required before.
If I can follow up, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
So it sounds to me like you're saying it's your intention to have a rigorous process for accounting for the costs, contractual arrangement, to make sure that this doesn't become something that just gets kind of left by the wayside.
We take that $1 million spending minimum very seriously, and we have so far not had any issue with that. But we are very serious about making sure that they have spent that amount of money, and every project that we have done this with so far has been well over the limit.
Okay. One more question, Mr. Chair. I do have some concerns about this, mainly as a model in which we're forgoing income rather than, if you will, spending income, because we've greatly increased our tax expenditures in this state and other fashions of not collecting the tax dollar in the first place. And one way to kind of balance that is to have some sort of sunset if one goes this direction so that this gets evaluated. And I may have missed it, but I didn't see any sort of sunset so that there would be a process of evaluating the effectiveness of this in a few years. And so I wanted to ask you about that and see if you would all be amenable to adding a sunset provision so that in say 4 years this could be evaluated by another legislature to really see if Oregonians are getting their money back on it.
Representative Merkley, we would be open to looking at a sunset as long as it gave enough time to really look at the program and see how it works. The other thing I would say is that we're not really foregoing revenue because it's revenue that isn't coming in right now, and what we're trying to do is create additional revenue.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Nelson.
Thank you very much. Veronica, I commend you on your efforts in this area. Having a son who has been with Fox and Warner Brothers for years, he has consistently sent me copies, as a matter of fact, of all the other states and what they offer, and points out to me how remiss we are and that he could be closer to home if we do something more favorable for the film industry. So I think you're right on. I just question, what is your budget?
Our office budget?
Uh-huh.
We're in the governor's, this biennium, it's $821,000 for the biennium. We're in the governor's budget for $840,000.
Follow up. And what portion of that is overhead versus actual operations of any sort? Or is it all, you count it all overhead?
We have a marketing budget. We have about $70,000 for marketing and about $20,000 for trade shows. That is quite meager when you look at states like Nevada and Maryland and Utah, who have marketing budgets. Their marketing budgets are as much as our total operating budget. But most of our budget, about $500,000 for the biennium, is staff. We have 4 full-time staff people who are running like crazy 12 hours a day. We're truly blessed with the staff we have in this office, and they do a lot just by hustle and legwork.
And a follow-up, Mr. Chair. As we all know, sales, is the engine of any business activity. I have great concern for that. Your sales and marketing efforts, well, I'm sure that you're working, and I know you are, and these other four people are, that's a very inadequate sum of money. It's one thing for us to give incentives, but if you don't have staff out selling, and some of these are, 4 and 5 and even longer years in planning, I'm aware of that, having worked with several of these individuals in some productions. So what will be your effort to change that marketing deficit?
I should mention also that through a grant from the Visitor Development Fund in Multnomah County, we have a Los Angeles representative, and she came on in May, and that has made a huge difference for us because she is able to go to all the industry events that we would have to travel to go to, and she is a former location manager and also formerly worked with the California Film Commission, so she has amazing contacts. She gets invited to all kinds of events, and she does one-on-one meetings. She currently is part-time. We're hopeful that if we can show some results from her efforts that we will be able to increase that to full-time. But that is actually being funded by the tourism industry through the Visitor Development Fund. The other thing is that if you have an incentive program that is attractive to the producers, that word travels fast, and it travels by word of mouth. You can bet that there isn't a person in Hollywood who doesn't know about Louisiana's program or New Mexico's program. And so it's not something that we're going to need to take out day in and day out full-page ads in the Hollywood Reporter. It's something that some strategic marketing. And one of the things that we really do to make our money go the farthest is to do our advertising in directories as opposed to a single day in the Hollywood Reporter or Variety that would cost us $8,000. We can spend $2,500 to be on the back cover of the Hollywood Creative Directory, which sits on every producer's desk day in and day out and is grabbed over and over again.
Representative Nelson.
Yes.
Howard Levine from the Governor's Office. Just
I had one more question. Hold on.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yes. Are you answering the same line of the...
Yes, I was just going to follow up a little bit on what Veronica
okay,
said.
Well, did you state your name?
Howard Levine from the
Okay, yeah, yes, why don't you do that?
Yeah. I just wanted to add that this year, actually just a couple months ago, the Oregon film director, Gus Van Sant, joined the Oregon Film Office Film Board, which is also going to be an enormous marketing tool for the office to have him on this, and we're very fortunate to have him.
Okay. Hold on, and the reference said that
yes,
was a question.
Thank you, Chairman. My line of questions, if I would be permitted to have a few. One is, could you give us some sort of a range on a major film feature presentation, how long the planning time is?
On a major studio feature, well, their planning time could be anywhere from a couple of years to, you probably have heard of some of the development nightmares that some films have been in that have gone on for 10 years. As far as when they contact us, for a major studio feature film like, say, The Hunted that we had in the year 2001, we were probably working with them 6 to 8 months in advance of their coming here. They're usually scouting in that range of time, and then they will actually set up pre-production offices a couple of months before they start production, and then they'll be here, you know, actually in production for several months, and then they'll have 2 weeks to a month of wrap out. A smaller independent film, timelines can be much, much faster. They may be scouting a month or a month and a half out from, you know, actually needing to set up their production offices, and their decisions need to be made very quickly.
So would it be appropriate for me to assume that besides an incentive to remain competitive, we also must offer them some sort of stability so that when they set up this practice, and if it does become long, that in that time frame we remain stable and consistent so that they know what kind of market they're dealing with?
We have two project managers in our office, and the project manager who started with them and went scouting with them and everything remains as a liaison to them throughout their production, and that is hugely important. They need to have a person to go to who knows how to help them, who knows who the permitting officials are, who knows where the resources are. That is all extremely important, and what kind of service. It's something that the producers were telling the governor when he went to Los Angeles last year was having that kind of assistance from the state is crucial.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chair Lim, I believe that my cohorts here would also like to make some comments if that's possible.
Yes,
Howard
of
Levine
course.
With the governor's office, and Gordon Sondland, who is the chair of the Oregon Film and Video Office Board.
Welcome, Gordon.
Thank you, Chairman Lim, Vice Chairman Markley, Vice Chairman Brown. I'm Gordon Sondland. I'm the chairman of the Oregon Film and Video Office, and I'm particularly appreciative that Representative Nelson teed up a question which I had asked when I took my role on the Film Commission. I run a small to medium-sized business in Portland. We have about 1,500 employees, and our margins are very, very thin in our business. And so it was important to me to know that any office that I was going to be involved in was run very, very efficiently. We've all heard horror stories about government inefficiency and waste. And I have to tell you that when I took over as chairman and I was privy to the books and records of the office and I got involved in the operations from an oversight standpoint, I took a very hard look at that. And I've got to tell you, I wish some of my managers ran our units as efficiently as the Oregon Film and Video Office is run. I can tell you unequivocally, there isn't a paperclip or a staple that isn't accounted for, and these people work very, very hard for very little compensation. And so the $800,000+ that we appropriate on a biennium, considering all of the territory they have to cover and all of the leads they have to follow up on, in my mind, is very, very efficient money. And I was, you know, I was sure I was going to come in there and find hundreds of thousands of dollars of problems. And to the contrary, I think it's run about as thin as it can be run. And these people have cobbled together a very, very impressive track record on a very, very slim budget. So I'm just here to make that point. The second point I'd like to make is that, in response to Representative Dallum's question, is that, yes, we can't flip in and out of programs. We have to establish a program, establish legislation, and leave it in place for a reasonable period of time so that the studios don't have to check on our program the way you check on a stock ticker, and every day it's a new deal. That's not going to be effective. And I wouldn't even want to embark on that if that were the intent of the committee. It would be a waste of time. So with respect to any sunset clause, I would say a minimum of 3 to 4 years would be necessary to really lay out a stable and consistent type of situation. And the last piece I have to say is that when we were faced with the draconian budget cuts that everyone was faced with in the last session, we really were at a Y in the road. Do we want to continue to run this office, or do we want to come up with some creative ways to cobble together an incentive program that will be marketable? And what's marketable is not what I think is marketable, or what Veronica or Howard thinks is marketable, or even what you might think is marketable. What's the definition of marketable is what the studios believe is marketable, because they're comparing us, as Representative Nelson knows, to all of the other states, counties, and countries that are offering similar things. So when we go down and we ask, tell us the range of what you think you need in order to consider Oregon as one of your top one or two choices, where it really then comes down to, is the location appropriate, is the climate appropriate, things that we have no control over. The marketing programs, including this bill that the film office has cobbled together, are trying to be both responsive to that and also responsive to the fact that we have no money, and we're trying to create a fire with two sticks. And so I'd say the film office has done an admirable job of cobbling together a program that really, with the three legs of the stool that Veronica's created, will put Oregon back on the map, will result in significant increases in production without a hit to the general fund. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate it. And I'd like to call the Howard Levine, the governor's office. Welcome.
Thank you very much. As the governor's speechwriter, I'm always jealous of people like Gordon who can just speak so eloquently down first. Chairman Lim, members of the committee, my name is Howard Levine. I'm Governor Kulongoski's policy advisor for the Office of Film and Video. Thank you for giving me this opportunity today. Veronica has given you an overview of HB 2191 and how this bill will help revive the film and television industry in Oregon. I would just like to talk briefly about Governor Kulongoski's strong support for this bill. HB 2191 is a governor's office bill. The governor believes that increasing film and television production in Oregon is critical to his goals of strengthening our economy and creating family wage jobs. He also understands that Oregon cannot compete effectively with Canada and other states for studio and independent films without a viable incentive program. The governor was in on the early discussions for creating Greenlight, both the vendor program and the labor rebate, which is the subject of 2191. He believes this industry can and should be a winner for Oregon. That's why a little over a year ago, the governor took a delegation down to Hollywood, which included Gordon, Marty Brantley, and Peter Bragg, and his chief of staff at the time, to talk directly to studio executives about Oregon and about Greenlight. He described for these executives the vendor part of the Greenlight, which is a rebate to filmmakers of approximately 10% of the cost of the goods and services they purchase in Oregon. He also said that he would introduce in the 05-07 session a bill that would rebate to production companies a percentage of their labor costs, and that is what we're trying to do with 2191. The governor wants to see Oregon become one of the top locations for film and television production. The industry is sustainable and clean. It pays very good wages. It is value added because the industry spends money that supports other Oregon businesses, and it creates a buzz that translates into more tourist dollars and better marketing while putting Oregon on the radar screen for other production companies looking for a place to shoot. Perhaps the best evidence of the governor's strong support for the film industry in Oregon has been his consistent willingness to use strategic reserve funds as a stopgap incentive program. In the past 2 years, the governor has approved several SRF requests for films that otherwise probably would not have come here. But SRF is too uncertain and sometimes not available, and that's really kind of the core of the problem here. If Oregon is going to compete effectively with other states, our production incentive program must be predictable, with clear rules of the road for the industry to rely on and follow. And that's what Greenlight will allow us to do. As Veronica said, many other states are willing to invest in rebate programs because they recognize the economic dividends that come with multi-million dollar motion pictures. I came out here from Maryland about 2 years ago, so I kind of followed things back there a little bit, and it just so happened that yesterday a hearing was held in Maryland on a bill that would rebate to film companies a substantial portion, I think 50%, of the wages paid to crews. So other states are doing this. We do not have to match states like Maryland or Louisiana dollar for dollar, because Oregon has many qualities that filmmakers want that no amount of money can buy. Our coastline, mountains, and desert, our quality crews, and as Gordon referenced, the one-stop, non-stop service that's provided by the Office of Film and Video. On the other hand, if we're going to be a real player in the film production industry, we at least have to be in the game. And that means a rebate program that provides reasonable, systematic, and reliable incentive to film and television companies. Just one last point. The governor has said many times that his first priority is to strengthen the economy. He has also said that we have to live within our means. So HB 21 assumes a net zero impact on revenue. Taxes that are withheld and rebated would not otherwise be available but for the film being shot in Oregon. HB 2191 will give a real boost to the Oregon economy and will not take money away from other vital programs. So the governor believes that this is the right bill for Oregon's future and urges a due pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Okay. If there any other person like to testify on this House Bill 2191? If not, then we are going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2191, and I open the work session, House Bill 2191.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
I move House Bill 2191 with the accompanying amendment.
All right, let's move. To pass.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I suggest you just go ahead and adopt the amendment first. So.
Okay.
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 I will move my motion, withdraw my motion, Mr. Chair, and I move the amendment to House Bill 2191.
Representative Nelson moved to adopt the amendment.
voice the amendment. Member Hester.
Okay. Would you like me to speak?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, this is the Dash 1 amendment proposed by the Oregon Office of Film and Video. On your summary, I've described what the amendment does. These are minor changes that were recommended by the Assistant Attorney General who advises Oregon Film Video. It changes the definition of actual expenses to include production of commercials. It clarifies that the rebate is for production expenses only. It clarifies the Department of Revenue expense deduction occurs only once. It clarifies that expenditures from Greenlight Oregon Rebate Fund are not subject to spending limitation, and it clarifies the method of assuring that the fund rebate is exempt from Oregon income taxes. It's my understanding that the Department of Justice has reviewed the amendment, and the office has as well.
Okay. And any objection amending this, adopting this amendment? House Bill 2191-1, LC 773.
Do you have that, Scott? Yeah. We do not have a copy of the
back of. Yeah,
Mr.
Right
Chair?
Yes.
I move House Bill 2191 to the floor with the due pass as amended recommendation.
Of course. Thank you. Hold
and
on.
That the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior
yes,
reference.
Yes, of course. Hold on. Without objection, and that the this amendment has been adopted. Okay, is there any other amendment?
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Representative Mockley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move I'm a little rusty after 2 years. Nominal is not quite the word I'm looking for. Virtual is not it.
Conceptual.
Either. Conceptual,
yes.
Thank you. Conceptual amendment that would place a four-year sunset on this bill so it could be reconsidered by two sessions from now to evaluate how it's working and seeing. My guess is by that point or even before that point, you all may be coming back with desired changes. But I think it's very important policy concept as we look at different forms of tax credits and expenditures to have a process by which they routinely get looked at again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any discussions on amending that the 4 years?
Mr. Chair.
Hold on, Representative Dallo.
Yes, Mr. Chair. A long time ago in another place, a very close member of my family worked for a film commission in another state. And I know that on occasion, the one that comes to mind is Leonard Nimoy was doing a project, and it was shelved. It was an idea, and it moved along the process. And at any point in the process, it seemed like frustrations jumped into the program. I concur with the notion of tax credits, but in this case, and sunsetting them. But in this case, given the precarious nature of the industry when they start a project, and given the competitiveness of the business, at least from my understanding at that time, and that's been a while ago, and it seemed to be a big deal 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And again, to the question that I asked earlier, and that was stability. If the project were started, it's not uncommon from idea to production for 4 years to elapse very quickly. And for that reason, I would like to revisit the statute if problems develop rather than sunset the statute and have no problems develop. So on this particular occasion, I would have to speak against an amendment that would sunset this sort of thing.
Right. Thank you. Representative, I'm sorry, Buckley. Sometimes Buckley is confusing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Dong, a compromise might be to sunset this in 6 years to give the office a chance to come back in 4 years to request an extension of the fund. They'd be able to report on its effectiveness. And at that time, request a extension for another 4 years rather than the sunset provision. But the sunset provision would be in place after 6 years for an official review in case the office does not come forward.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chair, I had a motion before the amendment from Representative Merkley.
Okay. I think before we have adoption of the motion, I think we need to have a discussion. And so that's what we are having at this time. The Representative Riley was first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things that I was wondering is this one of those bills that once it's passed takes more than a supermajority to repeal? And that's my concern, is that if we don't sunset it, if we, as Representative Dahlem has indicated, revisit, then it takes a supermajority to repeal this, whereas if it's sunset, it takes a simple majority to continue it. And that's my concern.
I can speak to that.
Representative Vice Chair Broome.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have to voice my support for Representative Buckley's compromise solution. I'm very sympathetic to Representative Merkley's point that not only in this specifically, but just about all pieces of legislation that we look at should probably have sunset provisions. If it's good enough to pass once, it should be good enough to pass again. But I'm also very sympathetic to Representative Dahlem's point, especially with the film industry. They need to have a framework of consistency and a framework of long-term planning. So I think I would support Representative Buckley's compromise solution.
And okay. Vice Chair Buckley.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to withdraw my conceptual amendment, and if the Chair would so allow me to do so.
Yes, you may.
I would like to invite my colleague to restate his proposal as a conceptual amendment.
Thank you. And Representative Dahlem, are you acceptable to the 6 years?
I'm very agreeable to that.
Okay. Any objection to adopt 6 years as a sunset?
Mr. Chair, I do object.
Okay, you can dissent. Okay, that one vote dissent, it's 6 years is adopted. Okay, now we are, I want you to know that this bill is subsequent to referral to the revenue. So any issues on that it will be fully discussed at the revenue. And also I'm leaving the page 3, line 4, the certain percentage in there. We are not, we are going to leave it also to the revenue. Mm-hmm. So the Chair is willing to entertain the motion to pass.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Riley moved to with the to pass recommendation to the revenue committee
as amended, yes,
as amended, and also the additional amendment for 6 years sunset, and the clerk to call the roll. And one support is aye, opposed no.
Representative Broome.
Aye.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Representative Dahlem.
Aye.
Representative Merkley.
Aye.
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Riley.
Aye.
Chair Lim.
Aye. The motion passed to the Revenue Committee. Thank you very much for the members. I think this will bring good things to the state, and I want you to know we all say thank you for your diligent job bringing the state, the film industry, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, may I make one comment?
Yes, please.
I just hope in the future, just as a personal request, that no one refers to this program by its acronym, because that would just be disastrous.
Go off. The Greenlight Oregon Labor Rebate Fund.
Golf.
Golf.
But I am glad we're making a step to bring Representative Nelson's son back home on a mission.
I appreciate that too.
Rename Bill.
AOL Time Warner.
Okay. Representative Nelson, I just want to thank you for your support, and sorry not taking your initial motion, but instead I took the Representative Riley's motion, and thank you for understanding that. Okay.
In this case, I guess I have to remove my motion before you could proceed.
Okay.
Yes, retract
it. I should have done it. All right. We'll close the work session, House Bill 2191, and then we will have an informational meeting on... What was that one? Informational meeting on Oregon's tourism industry. I'd like to call at this time Todd Davidson, my old good friend, Chief Executive Officer, Oregon Tourism Commission. Welcome.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it's a great pleasure to be back with you also, my friend. So thank you very much for this invitation and this opportunity to come in and just share with you a little bit about Oregon's tourism industry and the work of the Oregon Tourism Commission.
It's a pleasure to be here today, especially because when your
committee administrator emailed me Monday to confirm that I was still on, I had to email him back and say, unless this flu claims me, I will be there on Wednesday. Unfortunately, it has claimed my wife and my son, but I'm here before you today while they're home recuperating. It is a privilege for me to be able to be before you today and a privilege to serve as the director of the Oregon Tourism Commission. It's a privilege because, simply stated, I believe in the power of the tourism industry for the state of Oregon, and I do so for one primary reason. Tourism has played and continues to play an important role in strengthening and diversifying Oregon's economy. Let's look at the facts. The impacts are felt statewide in both urban and rural areas. Tourism focuses on assisting existing businesses, and it's a catalyst to help stimulate economic recovery. And tourism has shown strong, steady growth during the decade of the 90s, with an average rate of 5 to 5.5% growth annually. In 2003, tourism's economic impact was nearly $6.3 billion. That's a 60% increase since 1993. Tourism employment in 2003 was nearly 88,000 Oregonians, and the payroll was nearly $1.8 billion. That payroll increase is up 57% since 1993. As important, though, as the direct jobs that are created in Oregon's tourism industry are the jobs in Oregon's economy that are in other industries, jobs that would not be there if Oregon had no tourism industry. These are jobs in construction and manufacturing and agriculture that are there because of the demand that is created by visitor spending. For example, as demand for lodging increases, there's a need to build additional hotels. As more flights come into a region, there's a need to refurbish terminals or add or expand runways. There are nearly 40,000 additional jobs in Oregon due to the spending by visitors and visitor industry employees. The total payroll for these nearly 127,000 jobs in Oregon is over $3 billion annually. Perhaps most importantly, though, the industry impacts a large number of small businesses statewide. Sole proprietorships are in many ways the backbone of Oregon's tourism industry. Sole proprietorships, where the owner shows up every day to unlock that front door, and the average sole proprietor income is over $45,000 annually. For these reasons, this is why I believe that the economic downturn that occurred in 2001, that was further exacerbated by the terrorist attacks of September 11th, actually thrust the tourism industry to the forefront. Consider some of the stories that were running in 2001, immediately following the terrorist attacks. Layoffs that were occurring at Boeing Airlines. Over 30,000 people were being laid off at Boeing plants because orders for new aircraft were being canceled or postponed. As people cut travel, the airlines were cutting capacity. They suddenly had viable aircraft sitting at the end of runways. They had no need for additional aircraft. And 30,000 people who at one point may have told you that they were in the manufacturing industry suddenly learned that another industry was actually impacting their payroll. Another story that ran on CNN was that beef prices were bottoming out across the country. They reported in October of that year that beef prices across the country had reached its lowest price in years. The reason? People were not traveling. Therefore, they were not eating out as much, and it resulted in diminished demand for beef and a subsequent drop in prices. In the national tourism industry, jobs were being lost at a disproportionate rate. In fact, although the tourism industry accounts for about 6% of this nation's employment, tourism suffered 20%+ job losses following the attacks. The good news is that today all talk is about recovery. These have been challenging times, no doubt, and they've required us in Oregon to set the level of partnership and cooperation at the highest possible levels. And I'm especially hopeful as I sit before you today because the partnerships and alliances that have been forged here in Oregon built the momentum behind a critically important piece of legislation that passed during the 2003 legislative session, House Bill 2267, the Oregon Tourism Investment Proposal. This bill has enhanced and stabilized funding for tourism marketing programs and enabled the Tourism Commission to work with even greater flexibility and responsiveness. Prior to the passage of this bill, Oregon's tourism marketing budget was about $3 million a year. That ranked us 46th in the country out of 50 states. Today, our budget will be closer to $7 to $7.5 million a year at a time that the national average for state tourism offices is about $11.5 to $12 million a year. So while we're still not at average, we are certainly far more competitive at $7.5 million a year than we were at three. The Oregon Tourism Investment Proposal established a 1% statewide lodging tax that's anticipated to generate that $7 to $7.5 million annually, and it dedicates these funds to statewide tourism marketing. The 1% statewide lodging tax commenced on January 1 of 2004. It allows for a 5% collection reimbursement charge for lodging operators, and 2% to the Department of Revenue as an administrative fee for their cost of collecting the tax statewide. 100% of the remaining revenue is continuously appropriated to the Oregon Tourism Commission to carry out their statewide tourism marketing programs. It also allows us to appropriate up to 15% of that statewide lodging tax revenue back to tourism regions here in Oregon to help carry out their regional marketing programs. I would like to mention here this morning that the Tourism Commission does have a bill before the legislature that the governor allowed to go forward for a pre-session filing. It is House Bill 2197, and it is a technical fix to House Bill 2267. The technical fix is that we needed to clarify the definition of a vacation home and vacation rental. The use of the word designed for actually caused some problems as opposed to what it's being used for. So we need to clarify design versus use. And that's the intent of House Bill 2197, which has currently been referred to the House Revenue Committee. So we have a stronger competitive position with the new resources that have been provided. And today in 2005, for the first time in quite a while, all the national economic and industry indicators appear to all be trending upwards. Consider for a fact that real GDP in America is anticipated to grow 3.4% in 2005. Personal income is anticipated to grow 4.9% this year. Consumer prices are anticipated to only grow 1.8%. Total consumption is anticipated to grow 3%. Payroll employment is anticipated to grow 1.7%, and the unemployment rate is anticipated to drop to 5.3%. Why does this matter? Because one of the important lessons of 9/11 was that Americans believe they have a fundamental right to travel whenever and wherever they want to. There was a pent-up demand for travel that happened immediately following 9/11. Some people referred to this as the CNN effect. Folks were glued to their television sets wanting to see what the latest news was. However, as we came out of that initial shock that 9/11 brought to this country, what we quickly learned was it wasn't personal safety that was actually changing people's minds about where to travel. It was their view of their economic future. So when you really stop and think about it, where goes the economy, there goes the tourism industry as well. The more confident we feel in our economy, the more prone we are to travel and take longer vacations. So as a result of these kinds of economic indicators, when we look at the national tourism industry, we're anticipating equally positive numbers. Total domestic person trips that were up 3% in 2004 are anticipated to grow another 2% in 2005. Leisure trips up 2.9% in 2004. We're looking at another 1.7% growth in 2005. And the trends continue throughout. Well, the role of the Oregon Tourism Commission is to capitalize on these trends. It's to encourage the economic growth and enhance the quality of life in Oregon by strengthening the economic impact of tourism throughout the state. To accomplish this mission, the Tourism Commission and staff promote an image of Oregon that is unique, exciting, natural, and friendly. Throughout its activities, the Oregon Tourism Commission follows marketing goals and performance measures that are set forth by the Oregon Legislature. Maximize the return on investment from tourism, encourage longer stays to Oregon, and reduce seasonal fluctuations in travel-related industries. Encourage visitors, including Oregonians, to consider Oregon their destination of choice, and encourage international visitors to travel to Oregon. In carrying out its mission, the Commission works very closely with both the private and the public sector, including the Oregon Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus, the Oregon Snowsport Industry Association, the Oregon Chapter of AAA, the Lodging Association, the Restaurant Association, and many others. We also coordinate our programs with the Economic and Community Development Department, the Oregon Film and Video Office, the U.S. Forest Service, BLM, Economic Development Administration, and the Oregon Department of Agriculture, just to name a few for you here this morning. There are key programs that are contained in each of these agencies that directly benefit tourism development and marketing programs. As you heard this morning from the previous panel, the work of the Oregon Film and Video Office brings feature films and made-for-TV movies to Oregon that not only generate that immediate and direct economic impact, but bolster the awareness of Oregon's image in the marketplace as well. So if you really stop and look at the Tourism Commission, many refer to us as the umbrella marketing arm of the state's tourism industry. We have 9 commissioners that are all appointed by the governor that develop and oversee our strategic marketing plan, which is contained in your packet here this morning, and the budget of the Oregon Tourism Commission. The focus of the commission and staff is a strong, demonstrable return on investment in implementing a multifaceted marketing approach to attain that. Specifically, the Tourism Commission has 3 primary audiences that we serve. The first is probably the most obvious, the potential and actual visitors. We serve them through our advertising programs, our publications, our welcome centers, our websites, and more. But we also serve the travel agents and tour operators and travel media, who we then serve with our publications, our trade shows, our sales calls, hosted itineraries, our slide library, website, and others. Obviously, and especially internationally, our work with the travel trade is of critical importance because direct-to-consumer marketing internationally is incredibly expensive. But if we can promote Oregon to the travel trade and they produce travel products, or what you would call a tour, that's available in a catalog, and then they'll handle the retail side for us because they're eager to sell what's in their catalog. Our job, making sure Oregon is present in that catalog. The third audience that we serve are our industry partners, of course, private businesses and local chambers of commerce and convention and visitor bureaus and governmental organizations that benefit from the research programs that we undertake, education and training programs, and cooperative partnerships. To reach these audiences, the Tourism Commission implements several key programs that are designed to better position Oregon in the mind of the traveling public. And if I may, I'd like to just kind of highlight those key programs for you here this morning. Our media advertising program is the cornerstone of the Commission's marketing activities. Oregon is a premier travel destination in many markets, and we need to continue to move that message forward. We market to Oregon. We market to what we would call the easy drive markets of Washington, Idaho, and Northern California, and the Western United States with special attention to the Southwest and Southern California. The media advertising program includes our seasonal advertising campaigns, which are, again, examples of which are contained in your packet, regional cooperative advertising, direct mail, work with the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Commemoration Committee, and many others. Our publications and website program allows us to produce key publications that include our spring and summer and fall winter travel Oregon guides, again, a copy of which is included in your packet here this morning, as well as partnerships for many of our publications where we work with groups to produce publications such as the official guide to golf in Oregon, where to stay in Oregon, the official snow sports guide in Oregon, and the official outdoor recreation guide. Our domestic public relations program is a program where we really seek to generate additional editorial coverage on Oregon in a variety of national media. It complements our media advertising program and its messages. It's obviously a very cost-effective way for us to leverage the messages we're putting out in the marketplace. As much as we believe in the power of advertising for the tourism industry in Oregon, There's something about enhanced credibility that comes from a story that you read in a newspaper, a magazine, or perhaps see on television. There's a sense of objectivity that comes when someone views those kinds of stories, and that's why we want to make sure that we're properly leveraging our domestic public relations program. Our international and domestic travel trade marketing program is probably the one that has experienced the greatest renaissance during the last 18 months. This program includes all of our international travel trade marketing and public relations in Oregon's target markets of Japan, Germany, and other German-speaking countries, the United Kingdom, and several emerging what we would call second-tier markets that are being opened up by the new nonstop air service on Lufthansa German Airlines between Portland and Frankfurt, Germany, and Northwest Airlines between Portland and Tokyo, Japan. The Commission will also support the nonstop flight on Mexicana Airlines between Portland and Guadalajara with cooperative travel trade activities. This program area also focuses on our work with the domestic travel trade, the tour operators and travel agents here in the United States that are developing package tour programs, bringing people to Oregon as well. While we're very focused on the advertising and marketing side of the equation, we're also very involved on the tourism development side. This is a program area that focuses on helping Oregon communities develop tourism and build upon their existing social and cultural systems to try and build and sustain the visitor industry locally. Specific program elements in this area include workforce development, technical assistance and local training, niche market development, our Oregon Scenic Byway program, our Q Quality Customer Service Training program, the Governor's Conference on Tourism and Marketing Support for Lewis and Clark. We also, as I mentioned earlier, operate a very aggressive travel research program, which I'll touch on more in just a moment when I mention some of the measurements and results that we've been able to see. And we also operate welcome centers at the borders to Oregon that greet over 500,000 visitors each year. But in talking about measurements and results, I'm very proud to be able to sit before you today and tell you that the results of the programs and partnerships that I have just highlighted for you are impressive. A commission recent advertising campaign of $350,000 generated 220,300 new trips to Oregon that would not have come otherwise. This is what the visitors had told us. Had it not been for the state's advertising campaign, they would not have taken the trip. How do I know this? Well, one of the first questions we ask in the survey before they ever look at the ads is, were you planning a trip to Oregon already? And if they say yes, they're out of the survey. We're interested in some of the other data that they may share with us, but we don't even count them when we talk about our advertising accountability work. What's most promising for me is that 84% of the trips that were generated from that advertising campaign were overnight trips. 16% were day trips, and they certainly have their place in the market. But overnight trips are when visitors have made that decision to establish Oregon as a destination and you find far greater economic benefits. The visitors for those 220,000 new trips spent $40 million while they were here in Oregon. The result is the cost of generating one new trip to Oregon was only $1.69. And every marketing dollar that the Oregon Tourism Commission invested in their media advertising program generated $114 in new visitor spending. I don't know how many of you may be in the retail business, but if you knew that if you ran an ad and every time you spent $1.69 on your advertising, you were going to bring somebody into your store that wasn't just shopping, they were coming to buy. Those are the kinds of results that the Tourism Commission has been able to derive for the state of Oregon. Some other things that we're seeing with the new investment are that visitor inquiries last fall were up 67% over the previous year. Inquiries in November alone were up almost 100%, and page views on our website were up 300%. People are interested in coming to Oregon. They're interested in finding out information and beginning to plan their trip. Internationally, we're finding great results. We're finding travel products and German tour catalogs have increased by 24%. We found that Oregon has gained nearly 31 million media impressions in 1 year in the European market, primarily in Germany. These impressions have a purchased media value of $3 million. Oregon Scenic Byway Program has received hundreds of thousands of dollars in federal grants for projects related to our national-level scenic byways. And I'm very proud to be able to tell you here this morning, if you weren't aware, that Oregon has the largest number of national scenic byways and all-America roads of any other state in the country. The Tourism Commission has strived to run effective programs maximizing the return on investment to Oregon. This research tells us that we have been successful. So in conclusion, I'm pleased to be able to sit before you and tell you that tourism is working for Oregon and that the Oregon Tourism Commission is working for Oregon's tourism industry. As we move forward into the 0507 biennium, the Commission will continue to focus on optimizing the return on investment of the Tourism Commission's advertising and promotional campaigns, focusing on new trips, increased visitor spending, and increased local and state tax revenues being generated. You'll find us continuing to focus on increasing private sector marketing partnerships at all levels. You can't necessarily buy what the Tourism Commission is promoting because much of our marketing is about the image of Oregon. But when the private sector is engaged in our programs as successfully as we've been able to accomplish in the last decade, those are the products that you're able to buy. When we're able to take hotels and restaurants and attractions with us to trade shows and on sales calls and trade missions with us, those are the products that you're actually able to buy. Watch for us to continue to increase our focus there. Increasing our international marketing support to be able to support all of the nonstop air service that I mentioned earlier and that new nonstop air service in and out of PDX. In carrying out this mission and developing this plan, the next steps for us kind of look like this. We're in the process of creating our 2005-2007 strategic marketing plan and budget. There will be an industry forum that will be held on March 2nd here in Salem as part of the next regularly scheduled Oregon Tourism Commission meeting. The purpose of the open forum is to give the industry an opportunity to come before the commission and share with us their ideas for strategies and tactics that the commission can implement. This is really about groupthink. This is really about best practices, and we're eager to continue to hear from our industry on ways that we can best move forward. Immediately following that, staff will then draft up the plan with industry input and the commission direction. We will then take the first cut at drafting our strategic plan and budget for 0507 and unveil highlights of that at the Tourism Conference, which will be held in Pendleton April 10th through 12th. That'll be followed by a public comment period, at which time the plan will also be provided to the legislature, and if this committee is so willing, I would be more than happy to be able to come back and present the plan to this committee at that time. And then at the June Commission meeting, the Commission will formally adopt this plan. These are very exciting times for Oregon's tourism industry, and I look forward to moving ahead together with you. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be before you today and share with you some of the work of the Oregon Tourism Commission and the value that Oregon's tourism industry has for Oregon's economy. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Any questions? Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dazen, a wonderful presentation. Your enthusiasm for our tourism industry shows throughout. A couple questions, if I may. First, on the March 2nd forum, will there be notice given to us so we can inform the members of the industry in our districts about the forum to make sure that there is participation from people in our district?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Buckley, I will make sure that notice is served to you. Part of our public meeting notice process is we have a listserv of approximately 1,500 partners across the state that we send all of our public meeting notices out through. But I will certainly make sure that the committee members are duly notified so that you can also share with your constituents in the home district.
I greatly appreciate it. One follow-up, please.
Yeah.
Mr. Jason, is this report available, the marketing plan for 2004-2005, is this available on the website, or is this something that people in the industry in my district could request a copy of? How is this accessed?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Buckley, indeed it is. It is available on our website, and many of the folks in your region already have copies of the plan sitting on their desk. We work very closely with the folks in Southern Oregon, especially the Shakespeare Festival. So your colleagues are well apprised of our plan and actually weighed in early and often with comments on how we could best develop that plan.
I'm sure they will continue to. I want to just salute you for saying a timeline. We've had different representatives from different agencies before this committee who have not been able to give us a clear timeline of public input, decision, and moving forward, and I commend you for that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Buckley, thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Dallum.
Yes, I don't want to tax your list too much, but we have two agencies, at least in Wasco County and one that I know of in Grant County. Are the Chamber of Commerce on your list, sir?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dallum, yes, all the Chambers of Commerce and Convention and Visitor Bureaus throughout the state of Oregon should be on our listserv. That was, in fact, that was one of the core pieces that we built our list from. We had a list of all the visitor information centers throughout the state.
And I would not, one follow-up. Advertisement. Lewis and Clark came through the Dalles. We have the Discovery Center. If you'd like to see their cargo, it's an impressive display. Is that on your list?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dallum, well done, sir. There's no such thing as a shameless plug, you know. It's always about making, you know, bringing the dollars back home in that way. We do work very closely with the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial in Oregon Committee. We've been promoting the Lewis and Clark commemoration for a number of years now, both to the travel trade as well as in advertising, and have actually funded the brochure development, which does include the cargo exhibit that's located at the Gorge Discovery Center in the Dalles.
Okay. Any other questions? If not,
Mr. Chair,
Representative Nelson.
I'd just like to thank Mr. Davidson for all you've done. I think it's great, and got a lot more to do. And you have a vacancy on your commission for marketing, consumer marketing. Is that true?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, you mean on the staff?
Uh-huh.
For consumer marketing? No, all the consumer marketing positions are full. We recruited for a consumer marketing director last spring.
Okay.
We were looking for an international and domestic travel trade manager, and we recently just filled that position. That may be the position that you're referencing.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at page number 3 in this brochure, and it says vacant, the director of consumer marketing.
That position has been filled.
And who is that person?
Her name is Holly McPhee.
Okay. Thank you. And also, I'm sure our museum is on your list. And we invite you to hold meetings there anytime you'd like.
I'm appalled.
You certainly should not get to preempt everything, you know, that I want to say. But can we please have a copy of your testimony?
Certainly.
Thank you.
And if I could, Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, we do work with the Evergreen Aviation Museum, and I don't know if you're planning on attending their Academy Awards event, but with the Aviator coming out, we're hoping that there's some great momentum behind having the Spruce Goose located in your district and the success, hopeful success, of the Aviator at the upcoming Academy Awards.
The 25th, I think.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, I just want to concur with other members that the great job you are doing, and travel industry, I believe it could be a second largest industry in our state, and I hope this continues to grow with your leadership, and thank you very much for your presentation. With that, and
you look like you were about to adjourn, is that right?
Yes, I was going.
I wanted to just mention that State Treasurer Randall Edwards has provided a package to each of the members based, this is the answers to the questions that came from a week ago Monday, I believe, on some of the investing in Oregon questions.
Okay. Thank you. With that, the meetings are adjourned until when?
I'll be back Monday.
What do we have on Monday?
Oh, gosh, you got me. I'm just trying to get through
is
today.
Is it the gambling?
No,
that's March.
Is it this about the workers' comp? No. Workforce development?
Workforce is coming on Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
Well, there'll be something interesting, I'm sure.
Always. Okay. Thank you. With that, meeting is adjourned. Till Monday.
Thank you, Chairman.